Hey, we got a lot on our plate tonight. We have three sessions. We have three sessions. I don't know what you came for. Some of you came for the food, and guess what? Some of you came for the sports, and amen. But I came for the preaching. You're going to get a lot of things to think about. We're going to talk about, if I can set this thing up right, I'm not cued. We're going to talk about anger. And really, you need 3 days. Before I get into it, let's look at this. Proverbs 27:17. Don't read it. Don't quote it with me. Just read it. Watch what it says. Iron sharpeneth iron. Now, iron is hard. Okay? It is a necessary characteristic of a tool that whatever it takes to sharpen it has to be harder than it. Okay? That's why the best sharpening instrument for a tool is a stone. Okay? And I want you to understand, God made men hard. Okay? This is, as Brother Jerome preached, but we don't know what hard is. We only think hard is when you're just, you know, you want to beat somebody up, or you want to yell, or you know how to just tear somebody to shreds with your voice. It's only hardness we've known. But it takes hardness to sharpen hardness, okay? So we're going to talk about balancing that thing so that we're not afraid of anger, so that we know where it belongs, when to use it, when not to use it. Now, that's a tall subject. But before we get to our main verse, Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider one another. Don't just think of yourself. Think about other people. To provoke, you know how to provoke one another. I know how to provoke you. I know how to provoke you. I can provoke a lot of you to punch me, amen? But let us provoke one another unto what? Now men, we don't know how to do that. You know, to get somebody to love you, get somebody to love one another and stuff, we need to consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And I want to challenge us that we don't just react. You know, a woman, when she reacts out of her feelings. She reacts with all kinds of jumbled ideas and feelings, and it all just comes out, and that's how she's designed. But men end up doing the same thing. And the idea is that men need to learn how to control what they do, because can I say what a man is? I've spent my life, ever since getting saved, trying to understand what a man is, because I grew up without a dad. I want to know what it meant to be a man. Some of you looked up and you said, somebody who can drink 6 points and not end up under the table, that's a man. That's what you thought. That's what you grew up with. But a real man, let me just define it real simply. A real man is strength under control. That is what a man is, saved or lost. A real man is strength under control. Now, I'm afraid the strength is gone. They're just under the control. You're under control of your mom. You're under control of your wife. You're under control of your children. You're under control of anything and everything. And I learned to be under control of the Holy Spirit. That's what temperance means, by the way. I don't want self-control. I want His control. So, getting this balance thing where be a man is strength under control. Now, maybe you had a dad who was nothing but strength and bully and anger. And now you're trying to find out, well, now you've become placid and you're under control, but you never have any strength. I want to get that balance tonight. Now, Ecclesiastes 7:9, you ought to mark this in your Bible. This is one of the strongest verses, and I could just spend the whole hour on this one verse. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says this, be not, what's that word?
Hasty.
Be not hasty in thy spirit. It is a spiritual issue when you get angry. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. That means don't rush to get into a fight. For anger, now that key word resteth. Anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Now, fool says there's no God. They think they are themselves God. But the problem is, it's not that you get angry. It's not that you have anger. It's that anger is comfortable in your heart. That it's at rest in your heart. That it lives and dwells and breathes in your heart. And anger is not supposed to be resting in your heart. Do you understand what it's saying? Because only a fool keeps anger in his heart. Father, please bless us. We just raced through this thing before the preaching. God, we're trying to pack a lot of things in, but we can't do it. We are insufficient. So connect the dots for us. And I pray, God, that you just make this night life-changing. May everyone in this room decide to write down something they must do from this message, and then something else from the next message, and then something else again from the final message tonight. God, I pray that we would just be overwhelmed with what you're trying to do with our life, and we wouldn't sit back. But God, we'd be in the front. We'd just be, Lord, zealous of good works. And teach us about anger, please. Make us afraid of it. Make us very, very concerned about how we handle anger. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, there's something wrong with this next one. Well, I guess it'll just have to stay. You got an introduction there. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel 18. Let me first tell you about anger. First thing you fill in there, as you'll see up here, is Saul got angry. Now, and that wasn't bad. It's the fact he stayed angry. 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 10. 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 10, the Bible says this, "And it came to pass in the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul." Did you know you can get on God's wrong side? Don't you think God is all love? God is also all wrath. You better get on his good side. By the way, Jesus is on his good side. Amen. Verse 10, came to pass in the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied. Whoa, we got spiritual. He prophesied in the midst of the house. Don't you tell me that somebody who gets up and they preach and they prophesy, that means they must be of God. They can be of the devil. And David played with his hand, as at other times he's playing with his harp, and he's making music, and as other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand, and Saul cast the javelin, for he said, "I will smite David even to the wall with it," and David avoided it out of his presence twice. Now, Saul's angry. I mean, he can't calm him down. Saul's anger could not be reasoned with. No one could stop him once his wrath was in motion. He was obsessed. He became addicted to anger, and it ultimately killed him. He didn't just get angry once. Look at chapter 19 and verse 9. Chapter 19 and verse 9. "And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in the house with his javelin in his hand, and David again plays with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin." He was sitting there going, "Oh, it'd be great just to have him wiggling on that wall, stuck there on that wall with my javelin right through him." He was trying to kill David. Chapter 20, verse 33. "And Saul cast a javelin again." Look, I mean, he's throwing that javelin every other chance he's got. "Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David." So he didn't just get angry once. We're not talking about an outburst. We're talking about a constant attitude. And he didn't just get angry at David. In chapter 20, verse 30, go back to verse 30, it says, "Then Saul's anger was kindled against" who? You know, when you're angry, you don't care who you're angry at. Did you ever notice that? You may be screaming at your wife, and then your kid goes, "Daddy, what?" Amen? You don't care who you're angry at. You're just mad. And he got angry at his own son. But the worst part, it infected his son Jonathan. Chapter 20, verse 34. "So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce" what? Now you watch this. If at your house, if there's an angry person, you tell me if it's not right. I mean, here's your daughter, and she sits down. "My friend didn't call me today. I didn't get to go out today." And then you watch your son over there. "Well, yeah, I didn't have a good day either." And that bad spirit, and then mom's got it, and then you pick it up. "What's everybody mad about?" It infects everybody, doesn't it? Anger doesn't bless. It infects people. Saul's anger, it says there in verse 30, Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. And what's the verse I said you to read? Verse 34. "So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger, and he did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had done him shame." So it affected, Jonathan's now mad. And that's, let me say this. Any of you, especially you guys, but the rest of us, if you got kids, and you remember when you were drinking or you were messing around, you were in sin, and you had kids. And all of a sudden, you see your sin all of a sudden being lived out by them. That scares you, doesn't it? When your sin begins to infect your kids, that ought to scare you. Because it does. You cannot. Gentlemen, you mess around with pornography, it'll come to roost in your children.
That's right.
You mess around with any sin, it gets the judgment doesn't just hit you. It spreads out and it affects everybody in your family. God designed it. That you not only will reap what you sow, you'll reap more than you sow. And so will your kids. And it's awful. So enter into thoughts about anger. Here's a man's anger. Here's a man's anger. I think I wanted to say men are supposed to get angry at times. Before I go into this, 1 Samuel 11, verse 5. You think, well, Saul never could have should have gotten angry. That is not true. 1 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 5. And behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field. And Saul said, what aileth the people that they weep? Now, there was an attack. There was a danger for a city. And they were under attack in Jerusalem, in Israel. And Saul said, what's going on? Why are the people weeping? And they told him of the tidings of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of God, not the evil spirit, but the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those things. And his anger was kindled greatly. And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them. There's two of them. And he hewed them. I mean, this is one guy cutting up two ox. That's tough. Amen? Yes. Come on. Yes. That's manly, amen? His anger, he grabs those things, throws them down. He slits their throats. He's drawing and cording to them. Where'd I leave off? 6? 7 now. No. 11:7, thank you. All right. In his anger, verse 7, he took a yoke of oxen, he hewed them in pieces, and he sent these pieces of ox throughout all the coasts of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul, Saul was king, and after Samuel, the prophet, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one's consent. He was supposed to get angry that day, amen? It motivated him, amen? So a city was in danger. A city in Israel was in danger. And he got mad enough to do something about it. And God, help us to have some men who would get mad enough about sin to do something about it. You hear somebody bad-mouthing your preacher, get mad enough to say, not in my presence. Yeah. Amen. And they look, well, you're upset. You better believe it. Amen. Man's supposed to get angry. God designed us to fight and to defend. Not for fun. But to defend. Men, here's your fill in there. Men have a problem with anger and wrath. James chapter 1. I will not finish this. I know it. James chapter 1 and verse 19. Watch this, and we'll come back to it in a second. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. James is in the New Testament, by the way. Toward the end. James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Why? For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Your anger doesn't help God out at all. He doesn't need your anger. Now, there may be a time for you to get angry, but you're not helping God out. Men have a problem with wrath. You know, God said to Cain, when Cain got all mad, God said, why are you so angry? Why are you so angry? It's a question God asks. Why do you get upset? What's wrong with you, Cain? Many wives fear their husbands. Amen. Children fear their daddies. We're commanded not to get angry without a very good reason. Now, the reality of anger. What is anger? Well, I'm already ahead of my. I forgot I had this stuff. What is anger? You know what anger is? I'll give you the technical definition. It is a violent passion of the mind, excited by a real or supposed injury, and is usually accompanied with a propensity to take vengeance. Now, in summary, it's a violent emotional reaction to being hurt with a desire to hurt back. That's anger. I think you were talking to somebody earlier. Somebody's asking you about hitting you, and you said, you hit me, and I'll hit you back. It's just a natural, somebody hurts you, you want to hurt back. Amen? That's what anger is. Now, the problem is we always want to hurt back. We want to take revenge when they hurt us. You have no right. Jesus said, turn the other cheek. But if somebody hits my kid, I'm afraid they're going to hurt. Amen? Somebody breaks into my house, I'm not going to ask them for a cup of tea.
Amen.
I have a hurley stick. It is engraved with their name. Whatever their name may be, it will be engraved. What is anger? Men are supposed to get angry. And men have a problem with anger. And I thought, I forgot I had this on there. Now, there are 8 causes of anger that I found. You ought to look them up. They're listed there. Proverbs 15:1, Proverbs 10:12, James 4:1. You ought to look at those and see if you can figure them out. You know what I ought to offer? I ought to offer €5 for the first person that gets all 8 of them correct. Amen? I'll give you €5 if you come to me and you give me all 8 of them correct. First one. €5, I will. Promise you. So work. Not while I'm preaching. Okay. We're talking about the reality of anger. I mean, anger's real. Do you know out of control anger is a sin? Look at Galatians 5. Galatians 5 and verse 20. Verse 19. Galatians 5 and verse 19. Out of control anger is sin. Hold your place there and also get Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. We'll come back to Proverbs 29 in just a second. It's amazing how much of the attitude of a man is described in the book of Proverbs. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, you all know it, but I just want to look at this verse. 5:19 says, now the works of the flesh, did you notice that? It's what comes natural. How many of you are in the flesh tonight? Let me see your hands. How many of you are in the flesh? Come on, wake up. Every one of you are in the flesh. Come on. Every one of you are in the flesh. What you do naturally is a work of the flesh. Amen? You burp, that's a work of the flesh. Amen? It says, now the work of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery. Oh, that's bad, isn't it? Fornication, that's wicked. Uncleanness, we're talking about mentally unclean. Some of you are unclean all the time, physically. But we're talking about uncleanness, lasciviousness. That's loving things you shouldn't love. Idolatry, is that bad, yes or no? That's bad. Witchcraft, is that bad? Yes. How many of you want to go messing around with witchcraft anymore? Not one of you, amen. You know how wicked it is. Hatred. What's that doing in there? Man, we just listed a pretty awful, wicked list of sins, amen? Then comes hatred. Variance. Today your guys are up. Tomorrow you'll be depressed. You're up and down, left and right. That's variance, man. You're unfaithful. That's a sin. Variance, emulations. You're trying to be like Pastor Craig, trying to be like Brother Pittman, which would be sad. Some of you, told you I'd get you. You're trying to be like everybody else. Emulations, there's only one person you ought to follow. Jesus Christ, amen. Emulations. Here it is again. How come history? Wrath. So we got hatred, wrath. What's the next one? Strife. 3 times. What do they say? 3 strikes and you're out. So they say in America. Seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness. We know all of them are wrong. But you know, out of control anger is a sin. Look at Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, verse 22. An angry man stirreth up strife. It's like putting fire to kindling. It just starts more trouble, doesn't it? But look at the last half. And a furious man abounds in what? So if I have uncontrolled anger in me, if I have an anger that I can't shake, guess what my life is going to be full of? Sin. Sin. You think your problem is the television. You think that your problem is the music you listen to. You think your problem is the crowd you hang around with. And all of that is true to an extent. But you know what the problem is? You let yourself get angry because you like it. You feed on it. And a furious man abounds in transgression. He's like a magnet. Secondly, it's satanic. Look at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 52, you've got the disciples following Jesus. I mean, these are the These are the cream of the crop, you know. These are creme de la creme, as they say in French. The best of the best. These are the 12 apostles. They're walking along, and they're going to go through Samaria again. Jesus has gotten used to going through Samaria in Luke chapter 9 and verse 52. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. They wanted him to come and stay a while. They wanted him to heal everybody around. And he said, nope, I'm just staying for the night. Tomorrow morning, I'm out of here. And look what happens. Verse 54. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, because they saw everybody like, we don't want you around here, Jesus. And when James and John saw this, they said, Lord, watch this. Wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? Oh, they even used scripture to justify their anger. You want us to kill him, Lord? Can we pray for God to judge him? And he turned and he rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Whose spirit did they have? Well, they had righteous indignation. Do you know what? Probably one out of 25 times do you have a righteous reason to get angry. Rest of the time, you don't know what manner of spirit you're of. It becomes satanic when that anger builds up in you and builds up in you, and it goes on for days and days. If you're saved, there's a Holy Spirit inside of you saying, hello, hello, this thing's going on too long. It's no longer something's been done that's wrong. It's now you that's wrong. You have a bad spirit. It becomes satanic. It is sickening. What do I mean by that? I mean, no one likes it when you get angry. Would you agree with that? You know, honestly, you don't even like it when you get angry. You hate yourself when you get angry, gentlemen. It's sickening. Everybody rejects you. Go to Proverbs 14, 17. Proverbs chapter 14. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is what? You know, an angry man is not loved by anybody. If you've got a wife who put up with you being angry, you have a treasure. Amen. Because an angry man who stays angry, I'm not talking about weakness. I'm talking about strength under control is what a man is. Amen. But when that thing gets out of control, your wife doesn't like it, your kids don't like it, you don't even like it. It is sickening. It's soiling. Proverbs 22 and verse 24. Proverbs 22 and verse 24. 22 and 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou what? Learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. You know what it means when you soil something? When it gets all dirty? You know, your anger soils other people. It ruins their life, man. It ruins their day. You wake up all, I don't know, some of you may wake up and you just want to, you know, eat the bedpost or something. You're just mad, angry. You make everybody in your house sick of you. You make everybody soiled. You need to wake up to the fact that you're ruining the spirit of your home. It soils others. Look at Proverbs 19:19. You know, if you get angry and you can't break it, you will be broken. Proverbs 19:19. A man of great wrath shall suffer what? Is that a guess? It's a promise from God. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou wilt deliver him, yet thou must do it again. He's an addict. Amen. You pick him out of the gutter, he's right back in it. You stop a guy from wanting to punch his wife. You stop a guy that wanted to kick his kids. You want to stop a guy who wants to beat up his neighbor. You're going to have to do it again and again and again. Because he's under the wrath of God now. He's got to start fearing some things. He's scourged. You're going to reap what you sow. You know, Jesus said something really profound. He said, they that live by the sword shall what? You live by anger, and you're going to die by your own anger. Shall be punished. It's selfish. One of the most selfish things you can do is sit around and stew about what somebody did to you. The most selfish thing you can do, gentlemen, is get upset over what somebody did to you. Did Jesus do that? When they kicked him and they punched him and they ripped his beard off of his face and they mocked him and they drove those thorns into his brow and they spit. You imagine 20 men ran. Come up here for a second. You imagine 20 men around Jesus Christ, and those men are hardened Roman soldiers, and they've been out working. It's early in the morning. They're filthy men. And when they've got Jesus Christ and he's bound there and he looks like dirt, and then they begin to spit on him. And 20 of them begin to, and somebody else, and he's dripping with the spit of 20 soldiers. How would that upset you? Who, when he was reviled, what did he not do? He reviled not again. Why? Because he was Almighty God under control. Amen? Amen. Don't you tell me, well, I got to get him back. Then you're not a man. Yeah. Well, they, look what they did to me. Look what they did to Christ. We're supposed to follow in his footsteps. Amen? Thank you. A selfish thing. And anger usually is all about you. It's all about what they did to you. Amen? When you got angry, let's go back. How long you saved?
2 years.
2 years. Let's go back 4 years. They do something to you, and you couldn't sleep. You couldn't. All you did was think about how you're going to get them back.
Yeah. And a lot of people got hurt in the process.
Of course they did.
Like family members and stuff like that would have had to put up with my anger then as well.
But it was selfish. It was all just about you. That's the reality of anger. You know what? You need to get sick of anger, just like you got sick of the cigarettes. You just got just sick of the Bud Dumber. You got sick of the Guinness. You got sick of the internet. You got sick of your sin. You need to get sick of your anger. Realize it's selfishness. Amen. But it is salvageable. How many sins did Jesus Christ die for on the cross? You know what it says there? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. It's salvageable. Anger is not terminal. If you cut it out soon enough. Now, I'm going to be real honest with you. Some people who get angry and they stay angry, it gets harder and harder to break it. You mess first with hash. You move on and you're into hash and cannabis, and then you start messing around with heroin, and then heroin, you start going on. It gets harder and harder to stop, doesn't it? Amen. You start off with a few beers, and you move from the beers, and you start doing some mixed drinks, and then you go on up to the 10% and on up to patties, and then you end up where you're drinking, because you don't have any money left, you're drinking aftershave, and you're drinking all this stuff, man, and you're working your way up. It gets harder and harder, but it is not impossible. We're proof of that. It is salvageable. Anger does not have to kill you, but it will. I'm just going to stop on this point. I'm going to do these things. I'm going to stop. And tomorrow I'll fit it in somewhere. I'll give you the answer to anger. Maybe make it come back. Amen. Some of you are stuck here. Amen. The result of anger, real quick. look at Proverbs 19:19. Proverbs 19:19. The first result of anger is it'll kill you. Proverbs 19:19, we already read it, but I just want to nail it. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. You see, you think that you're getting revenge. But who's going to hurt in the end? You are. If you're not in a right position, if your anger, Jesus says, without a just cause. See, we always think it's just. And we always think, well, as long as you affected me, as long as you offended me, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So if you're always trying to defend yourself and always trying to get back in revenge, I'm pointing at Declan, I don't know why, but I have a bad attitude against you tonight. If you're trying to hurt him, and who's going to end up hurt most? You are. Amen. You'll suffer punishment. Second thing, we already read there. I'm just going to just go through these three. You'll reap more sin. Your anger is like a magnet. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon thy wrath. Do you know anybody know what the next verse says? Make no provision. What's it tell you about the devil? What's the next one? Huh? Neither give place to the devil. See, when your anger comes into your life, you better immediately start to take a step back. And I know you won't. But at some point, you're going to start to think this thing. And that anger wells up. You got to realize there's somebody at the door. Sin is at the door trying to get in. And you're giving place to the devil to come in. And what he's doing is demonic. It's almost uncontrollable. As you start to run down this path of anger, he sort of gets in the driver's seat and he says, thanks for starting the engine. Yeah. Amen. You might as well go to the Super Value, the Tesco, put the keys in the car, step out of the car, and say, here you go. And then they'll just jump in and take the car off. And and you might as well just sit in the back and just go for the ride, because they're going to take you for a ride just like the devil will. Loads of sin just come into your life. Third, rejection and hatred for everyone by everyone around you. Did I go through these things? Proverbs 14:17. Yes, I did. Look at Proverbs 25:28. This is a good verse. Proverbs 25 and verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Now, I wish I could draw this for you, and I'll probably tomorrow I'll come back to some of these things. But you know, if you don't have strength under control, do you know who's really constantly running roughshod all over you every time he gets a chance? It's just like setting up this wonderful city. You got Tesco's, you got a shopping mall, you've got hairstylist over here, you got a barbershop, and you got a playground, but you have no walls. You got houses, you got streets, and you got people in their prams, and there's no protection for those people in there. And so the enemy just runs right back forth and back and forth, and they tear up everything in his path. And if you don't have control of your anger, you're in bondage, man. The devil doesn't even have to ask, doesn't even have to knock to come into your life, man. He just walks right on in, because you have no walls. If you can't control your spirit, you're not going to be able to resist the devil. You'll die by the very sword you use. I did go over this. And you will exalt and worship the devil. Look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3 and verse 14. This will be the last verse. James chapter 3 and verse 14. But if you have bitter envying, and what's the next word? And strife in your hearts, glory not. Oh man, we really showed them. Well, I really told him off. What? You proud of that? You're proud of winning that argument? If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth, because the truth is greater. This wisdom of your own making, where you think you're so smart and you just put them in their place, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and it goes even further down, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Do you know, when you're angry, you're worshiping the devil. You're feeding him. You're feeding him. Just like that guy on Star Wars. Remember the last film, and Luke is debating on whether to go on the dark side, and the guy's going, yes, I feel your anger. Remember that? Come on. It's a good illustration. Because that's just like the devil. You know what you're doing? I'll get to the big thing. I'm trying to make anger dangerous to you. Sometimes you got to use dynamite, amen? But you don't carry it around throwing it at everybody you see. Amen? It's got a purpose, doesn't it? Yes. Use dynamite for a specific reason. But if you're carrying around dynamite, if you're carrying around your anger, you're carrying around your... You know, there's a great word in the Bible. It's called grudge. Is that an Irish word? Irish don't usually use that word. I never hear the word grudge here. Oh, it's a Dublin word, maybe. I don't know. But you know, the Bible says, thou shalt not bear the grudge against your neighbor. That's a good old 1611 word, too. Yes. Grudge. Got a chip on your shoulder. Get rid of the shoulder. It should have no place to rest. Because what you're doing is you're carrying a stick of dynamite that you'll throw at anybody, and it might end up with your kids. It'll end up with in your wife's face. It'll end up with people that you love if you don't have strength under control. So, next week, I think I'm on Sunday. Tomorrow, I'll talk about God's answer to anger. Let's just pray. Father, just as we move on into the main time now of really focusing on Jonathan, and God, I don't want to be like Saul. God, we've already touched on it, and Saul was an angry man. Saul was a wicked man. Saul, God, there was nothing good about Saul. Some of the characteristics about Saul were he was angry almost nonstop. He was demon-possessed. All he wanted to do was protect himself. All he thought about was himself and his image and whether people thought highly of him. He was so, so much like us. I pray you forgive us. I want to be like Jonathan. I want to learn from Jonathan, who grew up in that home, who grew up in a very insecure home, a home that was dangerous to grow up in. And he could have become just like his daddy, but he met David. God, you helped Jonathan. And Lord, I pray you help us as we watch the interaction, as we learn about our Lord. We learn from Jonathan, but mainly I want to learn from Jesus, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. Lord, I thank you for these men. I pray that we would fear, just as much we fear witchcraft, we would fear hatred, wrath, strife. Lord, I pray that we would take this thing seriously. And bless the rest of our evening tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.